It's going to be a shorter devotional than other times. After we read this, you'll figure out why. Genesis chapter 10. Now these are the records of the generations of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth were Gomer and Magog and Madai and Javan and Tubal and Mesesh and Tiras. The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz and Riphath and Togarmah. And the sons of Javan were Elishash, the Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. And from these, the coastlands of the nations were separated into their lands, every one according to his language, according to their families, into their nations. And the sons of Ham were Cush, and Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush were Seba, and Havilah, and Sabta, and Rama, and Rabteka. And the sons of Rama were Sheba and Dedan. Now Cush became the father of Nimrod. He became a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech, and Akkad and Calna, and the land of Shinar. And from that land he went forth into Assyria, and built Nineveh, and Rehoboth-ir, and Calah, and Resen between Nineveh and Calah, that is the great city. And Mizraim became the father of Ludim, and Anamim, and Lahabim, and Naphtuhim, and Pathrusim, and Kasluhim, from which came the Philistines, and Kaphtorim. And Canaan became the father of Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusite, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, the Arvadite, and the Zemarite, and the Hamathite, and afterwards the families of the Canaanite were spread abroad. And the territory of the Canaanite extended from Sidon as you go toward Gerar, as far as Gaza, as you go toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and Admah and Zeboim, as far as Lasha. These are the sons of Ham, according to their families, according to their languages, by their lands and by their nations. And also to Shem, the father of all the children of Eber, and the older brother of Japheth, children were born. The sons of Shem were Elam and Ashur, and Arpachshad, and Lud, and Adam, and the sons of Adam were Uz, and Hul, and Gethar, and Mash, and Arpachshad became the father of Shelah, and Shelah became the father of Eber. And two sons were born to Eber. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. And Joktan became the father of Almadad, and Shelef, and Hazarmaveth, and Gerar, and Hadaram, and Uzal, and Dikla, and Obal, and Ibamel, and Sheba, and Ophir, and Havilah, and Jobab. And these were the sons of Joktan. Now their settlement extended from Mesha as you go towards Sephar, the hill country of the east. These are the sons of Shem, according to their families, according to their languages, by their lands, according to the nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, according to their genealogies, by their nations. And out of these, the nations were separated on the earth after the flood. Amen. That's some reading early in the morning, man. So chapter 10, we'll make the best of this as we can, because right, it's dealing with the genealogies. But it's divided into these three families that were that are the sons of Noah. Now, we read in last Saturday in chapter 9 something that happened that created conflict amongst these brothers. And so now that's leading into 10. And it's interesting enough, you know, usually when you do a genealogy, you start with the eldest son, and the second son, and the last son. But for whatever reason, Moses actually did the opposite. And maybe, in a sense, going from least to greatest. Not necessarily in terms of their stature, but more in terms of their significance. Because obviously the last one here is Shem, the first one is Ham, and it goes off. And like we mentioned last week, Ham, basically the descendants of, Africa is pretty much the descendants of Ham, and as Egypt is a part of that as well. And then you have Japheth, who is basically what we consider the Gentiles in the biblical terms, Europeans, most of Asia in that regard. And then Shem is actually the father of the Hebrews. And in fact, his son, Eber, is actually where they get the word Hebrew from. And so he is, I mean, just like this thing says, he is the father of all the Hebrews. Now, I mean, it's just genealogies. They're saying now we can find out that during this time, languages begin to be developed. It seems that there was when God finished the flood, he said, go be fruitful and multiply, go scatter the earth. And that's precisely not just what the animals did, what the brothers did as well. And so they all took different parts of land. And this is kind of important for us to recognize, especially when you talk about the land disputes that are going right now. It would be very safe to say that a huge chunk, I mean, I can't put a percentage on, I'm not a political scientist, but I'd say a huge chunk of the wars and the conflicts that are arising right now, it's over a real small piece of real estate in Palestine, particularly Jerusalem, and more particularly the Rock of the Dome, or where the temple used to stand, which is the cause of tremendous amount of conflict, political conflict in the world. And so this part, and if you notice, there's one person in here, and I'll spend most of my time talking about this person. There's one person here that gets more recognition than any other son here, and it's Nimrod. And there's a reason behind that. But going back to this idea, so that the language is being formed, and they are being apportioned a piece of land everywhere. And so, you know, these guys are getting the coastlands. These guys are getting their other lands. You know, there's a mention of it here and there. But Nimrod stands out amongst all of these other sons of Noah, or sons of Noah's sons, particularly because of what he does. Nimrod, historically, in the biblical account, he's actually the first ruler of a territory. And if we read there, it says, in Cush, verse 8 starts here, Cush became the father of Nimrod, and he became a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad, Calneh, and the land of Shinar. From that he went forth into Assyria and built Nineveh and Rehoboth-ir and Calah and rested between the city and Mizraim, and continued on. Now, this is why Nimrod is kind of important for us, not only just in this time but also today. Nimrod is actually the first guy. So he's actually the first ruler of civilization. He's the first king. He develops his own kingdom, and actually later on in the Bible, I think it's Chronicles or somewhere, actually talks about Nimrod. Now, when you hear the name Nimrod today, it's a slang for what? Yeah, like idiot, right? You Nimrod, if you ever heard these things. The Nimrod actually is the word rebel. That's what his name signifies. And what the significance of Nimrod is that not only does he establish the first cities, I mean, he didn't establish the first cities, but he'd established this idea of rule. And, you know, so they congregate in cities, but they kind of live peacefully with one another. Nimrod comes on the scene, and he changes the whole landscape of, I guess, civilization at that time, that he actually goes into his brother's land and conquers the land and builds a city in that land. And so if you read in verse 11, from that land he went forth into Assyria. And now he's encroaching on his cousins, basically, upon their territories. And he is the first conqueror of the scriptures. And he basically sets the tone for conflict, basically, you know, that continues to haunt the people of Palestine to this day. And it starts with Nimrod. He was a mighty hunter. He was probably gifted. He was strong and all these things. And this has always been, you know, the folly of man, is that the strong has always overcome the weak, right? It's so different than the biblical idea of strength. Whereas the biblical idea of strength is really captured in humility, that you deploy your resources, you deploy your God-given gifts for the benefit of others. That would be the biblical definition of strength. But we see the instincts here of this human idea of strength, and strength is there to overcome and defeat the weak. And Nimrod becomes really the first person that grabs a hold, and I would say in a real way that really latches on to that sinful nature, probably more than any of his other cousins or brothers, and he takes his strength, but it's not to be a blessing, but he takes his strength to actually overpower and take control of other people's lands, and you know, and I mean, interesting enough, this little thing that happens here in Genesis 10 would be the story, really, of civilization itself. All throughout history, people that had strength would overcome people that are weaker. As Koreans, you know, many of us are Koreans here. I think we as a culture, we understand that very much in that in our nation, you know, if you look at the history, overrun over 1,000 times. We had the displeasure of being in a geographical location right in smack dab in the middle of more powerful countries, surrounded by China, Manchuria, Japan, Mongolia, you know, and it just back and forth. And that's why, you know, Korea became known as the Hermit Kingdom, because they just retreated unto itself. And we see that, you know, as Koreans, I think every nation can understand this, but maybe in a sense a little bit more, having been overrun so much. And throughout history, it's always been the strong that's come to overpower the weak. Again, that's not the biblical idea, but that's always happened. You know, this morning, I woke up really early, not because I was spiritual or anything, but I wanted to watch football. And so I got up like at 3 o'clock, and I watched the 49ers win, which hated that. And then so there was the game ended really early, and the next game was like about 45 minutes later. And so I was flipping channels, and I was watching Spartacus. Have you ever seen this? And what a portrayal of these Romans, that all they did was went and conquered lands everywhere they could. They found weak nations or whatnot, and they conquered them, and that's the story of Rome. And we see constantly throughout history how this thing is played out, and the origins start right here with Nimrod. And now, you know, obviously Nimrod is a name, you know, that's synonymous with kind of buffoonery and these things. But it kind of gives us a time to pause a bit to think about, you know, how are we deploying our strength? How are we, as followers of Christ, taking into account the position, the prominence, the wealth, the very things that God has given to us, our gifts? Are we deploying these things like Nimrod and others like him throughout history? And are we there to salute our strength and take over people or situations or circumstances? Are we going to be like Christ, who takes his strength, but he lays it down for the benefit of others? I gave a whole series on humility last year, and that was really the primary point, right? That God has given us resources and opportunities and position and stature and strength and power and all these things, but it wasn't necessarily just for ourselves. It was for the betterment and benefit of other people. And so as we, you know, look through these genealogies and we see how these are the beginnings of strife, you know, around the world. And, you know, I wonder, in this simple question, as this is devotion, how about us? You know, what has God given to us? What power, position, what authority, and are we primarily using it for ourselves, our own benefit, which is very worldly? I mean, that's, in essence, that's demonic in nature. Or are we taking what God has given to us and are we using it for the betterment of others, to be a blessing to others? Amen? So let's close our eyes. I told you it's going to be short. Tomorrow is a little more juicier, more material to work with. But let's meditate and think about that for a moment. What has God blessed you with? And in that blessing, how are you deploying that? Are you in turn a blessing to others? Or are you primarily using your influence, your gifts, your talents, your resources? Are you using it primarily for yourself or for your family only? And let the Holy Spirit speak to us and give us ideas and opportunities to use what God has given to us, but to be a blessing, not just for ourselves, but for others around us. And as Mons leads us in a song, let's just sit and meditate on that thought.
Deserve the glory. All the saints. for the Lamb of God and sing. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to
this morning. You know, Nimrod was a great, great hunter, so much so that he was renowned. He could have used that gift to feed people, to bless them, but instead he chose it to conquer kingdoms instead, to conquer people. God has blessed us with many, many things. How are we going to use what he's blessed us with? We can either choose to be a blessing, we can choose to use it for our own kind of desires or even for evil in some ways. Let's commit our hearts and give what God has given to us to be a blessing. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our community that's here on the list, and let's not lose heart, but let's continue to cry out to the Lord. If we could just add one more item on that, a number one, and you know, Tracy and Ben's father has been diagnosed with early stage of prostate cancer, and I believe he's going in for surgery on the 18th of this month. And so let's lift up Tracy and Ben's dad to the Lord as well. Let's pray for our friends here. Pray for our community that is sick but also needs to hear the word of the Lord for life. Let's pray that Jesus would reveal himself to them. Let's pray. Thank you. Let's pray for others that are dealing with non-cancer related illnesses. Again, I want you to just highlight the new one, Amy's sister, you know, from Beijing. Aram is in Korea, and she's in the ICU, intensive care unit right now, and really struggling with her heart problems. And so there's a team there from Beijing that's actually praying for her this weekend. And so let's lift them up as well as we pray for Amy's sister, Aram. Pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God to open up doors and provide for them during this time. Let's pray. Pray this Monday over our mission focus, and let's pray for Singapore. They're having a service again, a monthly service this week, and Pastor Nate and Monica will be traveling to Singapore. Let's pray for Nate to just be used by God as he ministers his word. Let's pray for Japan. Let's pray for Pastor Mitsunobu and bless the ministry there, and hopefully some doors for Japan will open up for us as a church. Let's also pray for Pastor Sophia, who's got a heart to move there and do missions work. And as we pray for Japan, let's lift her up as well. Let's pray. Let's pray over our hospitality ministries, our welcoming and barista. Let's pray that God would bless our current volunteers and bring more volunteers to help and be a very warm reception for our guests at SP. Let's lift up these ministries and leaders. Let's lift up our men's and women's ministries, and let's ask the Lord to continue to bless our leaders. I know that we're looking for new leaders in these ministries, and as we launch into the year, that there would be a real blessing to the men and women at our church. And let's pray that other leaders would rise and let's lift up. As we talk about using our influence and whatnot, let's pray for our work. Let's pray for your workplace, or maybe you work from home, whatever it may be, that you take all the influence, all the resources that God has given to you, and make it a blessing, and that you would be a blessing at your work. Let's pray. Thank you. Let's pray for our brother Manson. Let's pray that he would quit smoking completely, that he would rid of that bad habit. Let's pray for grace to resist cravings, temptations from friends, family members, co-workers, and the ability to focus and think clearly. Let's pray for our brother. Let's pray for Tim. Let's pray that he would love like Jesus does to God the Father and the people, to be equipped with heavenly wisdom and discernment to God's will in his daily life, and family, friends, and people he interacts with that will respond to God's loving kindness by choosing to follow the Lord as their Savior. Let's pray for Tim. Let's pray for our sister Virginia. Pray for her favor at her work, salvation for her family, that she'd listen to God's voice and obey and seek his direction, especially about her calling. Let's lift her up. Father, we thank you. Lord, we bless you this morning. We thank you for the reminder, God, that, Lord, we are blessed beyond our imagination, Lord. But, Lord, that blessing, God, and the gifts and the resources and the authority and power, all those things that you give to us, God, are not meant to be used unwisely, Lord. For each of us will give an account, God. We pray, Lord, that we would deploy these things for the blessing and the betterment of others around us, God, especially the weak and the poor. Where in the world, strength has always overcome weakness, God, but in the church, in the scriptures, God, it's weakness that overcomes strength. And so thank you for the example of Christ, God. For when we are weak, then you are strong. And so come, Holy Spirit, and lead us in that example, Lord. Watch over us today, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.